The reason we must have hope in life is because we live in a broken world. This is earth, not heaven. So we shouldn't expect things to be perfect here. Because of our self-centered, sinful choices, and the tendency of everyone else in every generation to do the same thing, the sins of humanity have damaged what was once a perfect place. Eden is long gone. Our planet is out of order. It's the damage done by what theologians call the fall. We lost paradise and we lost our innocence due to the rebellion against God. And we've struggled with difficulty and doubt and discouragement and despair ever since. You see, absolutely nothing works perfectly on earth. The weather doesn't, the economy doesn't, your own body doesn't. No marriage or relationship works perfectly because it's composed of imperfect people. And your plans in life haven't worked out perfectly. And this is the reason we need hope. Because everything in life is broken, but we're not left alone. God gives us hope. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Being Faithful in a Faithless World.
When I do all God tells me to do, He does what I can't do. When I do all God tells me to do, He does what I can't do. Now, this story of the feeding of the 5,000 in the Bible is a perfect example of this. Do you remember this story? The miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000 people? They're all out in the desert. Jesus has been teaching all day. It's the end of the day and everybody's hungry. There's no McDonald's anywhere. So the disciples come to Jesus and said, send them all away, Lord, so they can go home and eat. And Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, you feed them. Now, that was impossible. Here, God often asks you to do the impossible to stretch your faith. He looks at him and says, you feed them. I said, Lord, we can't. We don't have any money. We don't have any food. There's no place to buy food. We can't. Jesus said, you feed them. So then he says, anybody got a lunch? And out of that entire 5,000 people, one little kid has a little sack lunch. And in that little sack lunch are five little tiny rolls of bread and two little fish, like sardines. And the little kid takes his measly little lunch and he gives it to Jesus. He gives Jesus everything he's got. It's not much, but he gives it to him. Jesus takes it, he breaks it, he blesses it, and he multiplies it, and he feeds 5,000 people with it. And then at the end of their all feeding, they gather 12 baskets of leftover. There was so much left over. What's the principle there? When I give what little I've got, God multiplies it, and he makes up for it. I know that there are people saying, wait a minute, Saddleback Church just got a $50 million gift. They certainly don't need my measly little tithe. You don't understand it. The reason we got that gift is because you gave the little $5. You gave the $10. You gave what you didn't have. And God said, I saw that. I'm going to make up the difference. Because we couldn't just do it on my little gift and your little gift and somebody else. We're going to have extra help. But God says they're faithful with what they've got and they're generous with what little they've got, and I'm going to make up for it. And the reason we got that $55 billion gift is because last fall, you committed to give the $10, the $20, the $100, the $1,000, whatever it was each month over 3 years. It is because God saw your generosity. He said, that is a generous church. And like no other church in the nation, in the middle of the recession, they're not even thinking about coming into the harbor and tying up. They're going to go out and they're going to keep on fishing, Forrest Gump style. And they're going to go for it. And that those radical people, God looks at Saddleback and goes, I love those people. They don't know any better than to just believe me. And they don't have a whole lot. In fact, 10% of them are out of work. And they're making commitments to give over 3 years. I think I'll make up the difference. And it's going to continue to happen in the days ahead. Fourth principle, very important. When I have a need, I sow a seed. When I have a need, I sow a seed. Now here's the point. Whatever you need more of, give it away. If you need more energy, give energy to helping other people, and God will give you more energy. If you need more time, give some of your time away unselfishly, and God will give you more time. If you need more intelligence, you give whatever you got away to help others. If you need more money, whatever you need, you sow a seed. Can you imagine a farmer going, well, it's recession. I think I'll just keep all the seed in the barn. No, you got to plant it in order to profit from it. Now, whatever you need in your life, you sow that as a seed, and it will be responsible to come back to you. Here's the fifth principle. Very important. There's always a delay between sowing and reaping. There is always a delay between sowing and reaping. In other words, if I go out and I plant a kernel of corn in the ground, tomorrow I'm not going to see a full-grown stalk of corn with 20 ears on it. Ain't going to happen. There is a season between planting and harvesting, between the seed and the fruit. There is always a time delay, and what's going on in the time delay? This is a test. It's a test of your faith. Some of you made commitments last fall in Decade of Destiny, and you made commitments that you didn't even have. You may have been even out of work, and you planted a seed, and you haven't seen the fruit yet. Why? This is a test. Will I be faithful? Will I keep on doing the right thing? Will I do what God wants me to do and see what God does?
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Being Faithful in a Faithless World from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
If I go out and I plant a kernel of corn in the ground, tomorrow I'm not going to see a full-grown stalk of corn with 20 ears on it. Ain't going to happen. There is a season between planting and harvesting, between the seed and the fruit. There is always a time delay, and what's going on in the time delay? This is a test. It's a test of your faith. Some of you made commitments last fall in Decade of Destiny, and you made commitments that you didn't even have. You may have been even out of work, and you planted a seed, and you haven't seen the fruit yet. Why? This is a test. Will I be faithful? Will I keep on doing the right thing? Will I do what God wants me to do and see what God does? There's 2 other ways that God tests your faithfulness. And when you pass these tests, he pours out blessing on your life. Here they are. Number five, faithful people bring friends to Jesus. God is watching you. And faithful people share their faith. Faithful people share their faith. Faithful people bring others into the faith. If I don't share my faith, I am being unfaithful. Now, a good example of this is these four guys in the Bible had a friend who was paralyzed. And they had the faith to think, you know, if we could just get our friend to Jesus, Jesus would heal the guy, and then our friend would be well. And they had faith that if they could get their friend to Jesus, he'd be healed. The story is told here in, there on your outline in Matthew chapter 9. It says, some men brought to Jesus a paralytic, a paralyzed man, a paralyzed friend, lying on a mat. He couldn't even get to Jesus. He was paralyzed. When Jesus saw their faith, circle the phrase, their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. I didn't print the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse says, and he said, take up your mat and go home. And the guy was instantly healed. Now, Jesus heals the guy. Now, according to that verse, did Jesus heal the guy because of the sick man's faith or because of the friend's faith? What? Yeah, the friends. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, you guys had enough faith that if you could get your paralyzed man to me, I'd save him. On the basis of their faith, not the guy who was sick, but their faith, he healed the man. Now listen very closely. You have friends that are paralyzed and can't get to Jesus. You have friends who are paralyzed by guilt, and they can't get to Jesus. They're paralyzed by doubt, and they can't get to Jesus. They're paralyzed by fear. They're paralyzed by worry. They're paralyzed by insecurity, and they can't get to Jesus. And the only way they're going to get to Jesus is you're going to have to bring them. And if you have enough faith to bring them to Jesus, they will get saved. But they're not going to get saved. They're not going to be healed. Their life isn't going to be turned around until you have enough faith to bring them to Jesus. Now, when God looks out and he sees people bringing people to him, he not only heals those people, he blesses the person who brought them. If you want the blessing of God on your business, if you want the blessing of God on your family, if you want the blessing of God on your life, just start bringing friends to Jesus. And if you bring your friends to Jesus, God says, that's the kind of person I'm looking for. They are faithful. And God blesses faithfulness. You want God's blessing on any area of your life? Just start bringing your friends to Jesus. And you watch what happens. God will do things in your life, your finances, your health, your business, you could not imagine. Faithful people bring friends to Jesus. Which is why we don't ever stop reaching out. We keep starting campuses. We keep starting churches. We keep doing outreaches to bring more friends to Jesus. Why? The moment this church stops bringing people to Jesus, the hand of blessing is taken off of it. God is blessing this church because there are people in it who are still bringing their friends to Jesus. And they're getting blessed from it. One last principle. Number five. Or six. Faithful people build the faith of others. Faithful people build the faith of others. And when God sees your faithfulness, he blesses you. Now, building the faith of others is called mentoring or discipling. It's simply encouraging somebody in the faith who's younger in the faith than you. Everybody in life needs a Paul and everybody needs a Timothy. What's a Paul? That's somebody who's older than you who can kind of encourage you and be a coach to you spiritually and just be there to pray for you. Everybody needs a Paul and everybody needs a Timothy. That's somebody who's not been a Christian as long as you. Maybe you've only been a Christian 1 week longer, but they can be your Timothy. And you need to be mentoring somebody younger than you. Now, you don't need to be 100 steps ahead of that person because they can't see you. You only need to be one step ahead. And if you start helping other people in their faith, you're going to find God blessing your socks off. Faithful people build the faith of others. God has called every Christian to do this. Notice this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The things, Paul is talking to Timothy. Paul says, the things you've learned from me, Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, you are to entrust to other faithful people, there's that word faithful, who will also be qualified to pass it on to others. Now notice, in that verse, there are four generations. Paul says, I helped build up your faith. Now you're to find somebody who's faithful and help build up their faith, who they will turn around and build up the faith of others. Four generations in one verse. Four generations. This is called mentoring. It's called discipling. Don't you wish when you were in your 20s and you're a young guy, if you had had an older guy who was a Christian who said, you know what, I don't know a whole lot, but let's just get together for coffee once a month and we'll just talk and I'll pray for you. And you need some help in your business? I don't know a whole lot, but I can tell you what I know. You need some help in your family, your marriage? I can tell you what not to do. I can tell you what not to do. That's mentoring. See, it's wise to learn from experience. It's wise to learn from experiences and mistakes of others. I don't have time to learn it all myself. And let's say if you're a young woman, wouldn't you like to have an older woman, a godly woman, who takes you under her wing and says, look, I know you got problems with your kids, problems with your husband, or problems with your career, or problems with this, going to school. I tell you what, I'll just be there to hang on with you. I'll be there to pray with you. I don't know a whole lot, but I'll just be there for you. Wouldn't you have wanted that as a young Christian? Of course you would have. Of course you would have. I have had six mentors in my life. One of them died this week. His name was John Stott. He was 90 years old. He lived in England. He wrote over 50 books. He was one, in my opinion, of the four greatest Christians of the 20th century. To me, the four greatest Christians of the 20th century were Billy Graham, Pope John Paul II, Mother Teresa, and John Stott. John Stott was a mentor to me. And in my life, I've had six different mentors who encouraged me. Now, he didn't sit down and teach me lessons. I just call him up and talk. And I just knew that there was somebody who was a little further down the road than I was who cared about me. And a lot of Saddleback is the responsibility for it is because of these six mentors that I had. Now, this fall, one of our 12 Decade of Destiny initiatives is we're going to start a mentoring program. About half of our church family is over 35 years of age. About half of our church family. And about half of our church family is under 35 years of age. We're going to set up a program for those who want to be a part of it and don't want to miss out on this blessing, where we pair up somebody who's over 35 with somebody under 35 in our church for 1 3-month period. If you like it, we'll continue it. And you just, what do? You just go out to breakfast with them once a month. Sit down and go, what's going on? Tell me what's happening. And can I pray for you? And just building those relationships, it will bless the mentor and the mentee, the discipler and the disciple. It will represent, both people will get blessed by it. Now, I know what somebody's saying. Rick, you don't know the mess I've made in my life. You don't know all the problems I've done. You don't have to be perfect to be a mentor. If you did, there would be no mentors. There are no perfect mentors. Everybody's flawed. It's interesting to me that when God chose the leader of the church, the person he chose out of all his 12 disciples was the biggest failure. He chose Peter. The guy who denied Jesus 3 times is the guy Jesus chose to be the leader of the first church and preach on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved. God loves to use losers. He doesn't use the perfect winners. He loves to use losers. And he chose the biggest loser to be the leader. Who can better understand somebody going through a bankruptcy than somebody who's been through bankruptcy? Somebody who's had problems with their kids than somebody who's had problems with their kids. Somebody who's gone through cancer than somebody who's going through cancer, somebody who went through cancer. Somebody who struggled with drugs and somebody who struggled with drugs. Don't waste your hurts. Use them to help the next generation. And God will use it. Here's what Jesus said to Peter. Luke 22. This is before Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus knew he was going to do it. And he said this. Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith will not completely fail. He said, Peter, I already know you're going to fail. But I've already prayed for you. And I know you're going to come out of it. So after you've repented and come back to me, after you've blown it and you've come back to me, strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers. In other words, he's saying, be a mentor. What I want you'll be able to do this fall is you to take your biggest problems and failures and save somebody else from making the same mistake. And you'll be able to say like Job, look up here on the screen. This is what a mentor does. You'll sing God's praises to everyone you meet. Testifying, here's what you'll say. I messed up my life. I messed up my life, and let me tell you, it wasn't worth it. But God stepped in and saved me, and I'm alive again. That's called mentoring. I messed up my life. And let me tell you, it wasn't worth it. But God stepped in and saved me. He'll help you too. So hang in. God is going to use you as a mentor.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, we all face temptations every day. It's a spiritual battle that takes place inside us. And it makes us vulnerable, particularly if we don't know how to fight it. To overcome temptation is absolutely essential that you know the tactics that Satan uses to trip us up. And it's vital to learn the biblical defenses that God gives us. He has told us in His Word how to handle and how to manage the attacks of Satan. Now, in order to help you learn how to respond to the predictable patterns that Satan uses to tempt you, I've created a study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. This kit, The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, includes a DVD with 7 different sessions and a simple booklet that will help you learn how to overcome and defeat temptation in your life. You really need this. In the series, I will teach you the 3 kinds of temptation, God's antidote to temptation, and even how to avoid temptation in the first place. It is a study guide that you can use by yourself, but you'll actually get more out of it if you'll gather a small group of friends together and study it together as a small group. Now, I want to send you the Invisible War, Winning the Battle for Temptation study kit as my gift to say thanks for your support of Daily Hope with your financial gift. You know, we can't do this without you. And your generosity helps us take the hope of Christ into places all around the world and now to places that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. You can visit rickwarren.org, www.rickwarren.org, or you can call my staff at 1-800-600-5004. If you'll be a supporter, if you'll help me out, if you'll join my team, call 1-800-600-5004. And we'd love to pray for you at the same time. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.